instead of ESPN's version of NFL games. That's what this station needs to bring back Westwood One.
I don't know how all that works out. No, I'll ask upper management about it, what we're going to do on a Sunday. I like the ESPN stuff where I go game to game all across the country on some of that. But I'll find out what we're going to do, our Sunday plans. You know, we've switched and done a lot of stuff, and some have worked, some haven't. But I'll ask upper management about our Sunday broadcast plans.
Y'all done Monday Night Football, of all things, a few times, and as well as
– Yeah.
And as well as Sunday games and – yeah. I'm ready for this hot word to leave.
Oh, how? You hit a hot button, no pun intended, topic there. But it's not going to leave for a few more days. We're talking about 99, 98, 99 degrees here in the next couple of days. So You got to stay cool, man. Stay inside and stay cool. And let's do that.
Gatorade.
Yeah, no, hydrate. Gatorade. 98 on Monday. 96, wow. 96, 95, 98 the next 3 days, the next 4 days. So stay inside, man. Stay inside. Okay. Stay cool. Watch some football. Watch some NFL this weekend.
Yep. Speaking of football, a new stadium that the Bills are playing in. They're leaving out O.J. Simpson as far as being Bills ring of honor and all that. There's been some debate about it because of his off-field stuff, you know?
Yeah, he kind of ruined that a little bit. He kind of had a little, other than that, Miss Lincoln, how's the play kind of a thing for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, I don't blame the Bills for making that decision. So, Hal, stay cool this weekend, man. Stay cool. Watch some NFL. Yeah, I don't really feel like the Bills, that was that hard of a decision. I think O.J. made that decision for them.
Yeah, I would have to agree there.
Yeah.
Would have to concur.
Texan wants to know what the lobby debate was about yesterday after the show that Faxon was talking about.
I need to go back and listen to what they had to say.
Yeah, it was not what they were talking about. I can tell you that.
It was not.
No.
It's not. Nope. Great chat. Great chat as always.
Speaking of great chat, I heard this yesterday, and I wanted to play it for the air because we talk about nicknames on the show a lot. And so let me know when you get it ready. Fred Couples has a few nicknames, and he was asked about them, and there were some that were new that I'd never heard of before. And the little clip is about a minute clip, I think. And we will play it for you and get his reaction to it. But he's one of these. We always talk about if you have three nicknames, then you've made it. And he's got about five. And a couple of them are, like I said, facetious and are made up, and nobody really calls him that at all. But and let me set it all up. Fred Couples, great tempo. Fred Couples, laid-back attitude. Fred Couples did very well in Skins game as opposed to major championships. And just known for that long, sweet, flow swing. So, do we have it?
Yeah, then I need to tell people what you called yourself to me this morning.
Okay. Okay.
Mickey said, call me a BMW.
Oh,
yeah. Today I'm going to be the ultimate driving machine.
Yes. Yep. I'm playing golf today. Today, I am the ultimate driving machine.
First thing I was told. First human interaction I had this morning.
Yes.
Was that quote.
Yes. Correct. The ultimate driving machine.
And with that, here we go.
Just curious your POV on them, okay? First one, Freddie. Do you like when people call you that?
I like it, yeah. I like it. Rolls right off the tongue, Freddie.
How about Boom Boom?
1981 in Atlanta, Vance Hefner and Gary McCord. Everyone thinks Gary McCord, but Vance Hefner gave me that nickname. Yeah, I think it's a cool nickname.
Mr. Skins.
I like that one too. I wish I was Mr. Major, but Mr. Skins will do.
Mayor of Tempo Town.
I've always had tempo. I don't know that was much, but I think any nickname, so far you're on track, I really, really like. They get worse, I'm sure.
Leisure Panther.
I've never heard, what is that, Leisure
Panther? Leisure Panther, a lot of people call you that.
What does that mean? I have to go online?
I don't know.
I don't know what
people say
it. I love it. Leisure Panther.
The Human Hammock.
I like that. I've been known to relax.
Fredward Chillington III.
That's a first. I've never heard that one, but I think it's cool.
Yeah. Smooth Daddy Bing Bong.
Smooth Daddy. I mean, how am I going to complain about that? Ding Dong? Lies in a.
Bing Bong. Smooth Daddy Bing Bong.
Oh, let me rephrase that. Swing Daddy.
Smooth Daddy.
Smooth Daddy Bing Bong.
Yeah.
Do I have dementia yet? Is it coming?
I think it's a good nickname.
I like it. No, it's cool.
Okay, cool.
Swing Daddy Bing Bong.
All right, I think it's good.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite of the new ones? Fredward Chillington III, do you like that one?
That's kind of cool.
Okay, that's it.
Frederick Chillington III.
Fredward Chillington.
Fredward, Jesus Christ.
Fredward Chillington III.
That's the best nickname I've ever heard in my whole life.
I like it. I like it
Incredible.
All.
Incredible.
I told you in my house, my son Drake is Drake. Drake Michael, he is D, he's Dieter Peter Pancakes, he's Deets, he's Drake the Snake, he's a lot in there. I think Deets and Dieter, his mom calls him Deets and Dieter a lot. I don't know how we got that out of Drake.
I usually call him Mr. Pancakes when he's here.
Yeah,
ever
Dieter Peter
I learned
Pancakes,
that.
So he's Mr. Yep. Pancakes.
Yep.
I don't know how I got that one. And then Isla, she is Sister Ann. She's Isla Ann, but she's Sister Ann.
I like Sister Ann.
I don't know why we got Sister Ann out of all that. And then me, Big Don. And also, I am I'm Big Don. I'm Miggy, Miggy Piggy, and Miggy Piggy Pancakes.
What's Mayor?
Mayor is just Mayor and Mom.
Y'all got to get her a nickname.
We do have to get her a nickname.
Come on.
We do have to get her a nickname somehow, sometime. She could be the Mayor of Mayor.
That's good.
What are you? What would you be the Mayor of? You'd be the Mayor of the Roar with all the shows you're on now.
I would be the mayor of Dutch Brothers.
Mayor of Dutch Brothers. You still going?
Although I did get impeached for my job as the mayor because I make coffee at home.
Yeah, you do it at home now. But like throughout the rest of the day, do you ever just still go back by there for old time's sake?
Oh, I went yesterday. Oh, did you really? Yeah.
I'm supposed to have a meeting with a pastor in the next couple of weeks, and that's where we met one time. He's like, hey, let's go back over. I was like, okay. All right. There's a local coffee company here. I don't know if they want us to mention them on the air, but I went by and got a frap from those. I took my wife a coffee from there. I might do that today.
Stevie from – that's kind of you.
Well, yeah. I'm a husband, boy.
Look
I am a lover.
You.
Yes, yes, yes.
Stevie gets in and says, ask me to be the mayor of Hostile Coaching. That's fair because I was essentially Bobby Knight of the intramural team I coached. It was bad. It's really bad.
What?
Have I never told you this?
No.
Okay. My sorority wanted to field an intramural basketball team. This is my junior year, okay? And it was sophomore girls that wanted to do it. So they came to me and they were like, hey, would you coach? I'm like, girls, are you sure? And they were like, yeah. So, you know, like, I go into the first practice and I have a practice plan. I've thought about it and worked on it. So I'm like, all right, we're going to start with the 3-man weave. Do y'all know what that is? I shot way too high. I shot way too high for the skill set that was there. And then I'm like, I'm having them do the shell drill, like man to man. I'm like, sag, sag, deny. No. Like,
Do you ever do the, would you ever do the Brad Barnell? Move!
And what, Nikki, what I needed to do, what I needed to have done is start with like, hey, this is how we do a layup. This is our layup footwork, yeah. Right, left,
yeah.
Left,
this is
right.
The lane right
yes.
Here.
This is the free throw line.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where I needed to start instead of a 3-man weave
yeah.
And then 2-on-1 coming back on defense. We didn't need to start there because I ran a couple off. They told me that they had to go to the sales innovation program, but in reality, I think they just didn't want to deal with me as coach.
Oh, no.
But I didn't know how else to do it.
No.
Anyway, that's my one intramural experience.
No. I coached. I had to come up with different defenses, and so we ran a 2-3 zone.
That's what you need to do.
We called it 23.
Yep.
And then when we run a matchup out of it, like I wanted to extend the zone
yep.
Out,
yep.
Run a matchup zone out of it, I called it 23 Shaq because he's big.
Awesome.
I wanted to get big out there.
That's
right?
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. I should have played a 2-3. I don't know why I didn't. Everybody knows when you're first starting, you don't immediately.
Well, and you got to be in good shape to play man-to-man.
I know. And listen,
and learn how to switch and how to help side and all. No, just play the zone.
Most of these girls were soccer players in high school, so they at least like had some ability. They're athletic.
Did it affect your long-term relationships with them?
No.
Does anybody still this day look back and go, oh, I don't like that girl? Remember how what kind of coach she was?
Maybe a couple, but I did make friends. So okay. I think it's an overall win.
Net gain.
Net gain.
Steven writes in, my name is Steven, and my wife is Shay. I call her Edith most of the time, and she calls me Earl. LOL. So hold on. I need to know why. He's Steven. She calls him Earl. She's Shay. He calls her Edith. I think that Edith is the Archie Bunker thing. I don't know where Earl comes from.
That reminds me of the Dixie Chick song.
What? Which is what?
About the lady that took out her husband named Earl. I'll play it next rejoin.
All right. You know, we go back to the Beatles thing where her name was Jill. No, her name was McGill. She called herself Jill, but everyone knew her as Nancy. So she had three.
I think if you have if you're a three-nickname person, you're a pillar of your community.
Yeah.
And you've made it in life.
Three nicknames. That's it. Texas wants to know, what do you think about the Steelers last night and Drew Aller?
Played well.
10 of 13, 153, two touchdowns, no picks. I just don't see, by the way, Mason Rudolph, Rocky Hill High School, which I try to talk Clemson recruiting, 10 of 11, 93 yards. I would not be too excited about Drew Aller. I know he got hurt. I know that he's one of these highly recruited guys. I think there's some skill there. The NFL, I think the mistake you make with a Drew Aller is that the NFL feels like that they can take your college mistakes and turn you into their project, and they're going to coach you better. Like, oh, well, we're smarter coaches. We're going to – no, Drew Aller does not have it. Looked better last night. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is the guy this year. Long-term future, I don't think Rudolph is the guy. I'm not sure Will Howard is the guy, but I'm pretty sure Drew Aller's not. Now, we have seen examples of people have careers like Aller had in college that got better in the pros.
That definitely exists.
But the mistake these teams make is, well, we'll coach that out of him. I don't know, man. It's kind of hard to coach out some of the stuff that Drew Aller had through all those years at Penn State.
Yeah, but of any of these quarterbacks that were just taken that didn't live up to their total potential in college, I like Drew Aller more than any of the rest of them. Got a good arm, yeah, but, big kid.
Yeah, but like how, like if you can't do it in college, what makes you think you can do it? I did not like him in college. What makes you think you can do it at this next level? Like, it's not going to get easier.
Yeah.
It's not like you say, man, a lot of people get out of college and they go, oh, man, life's going to be better, and I don't have any homework, no projects to do. I'm just going to go bust it and do great post-college. But the NFL, like, it's harder, not easier.
Right.
I don't know.
Sometimes I think a system fits a player, right,
yeah,
to their strengths. You get with whatever coaches, and sometimes that kind of thing works out. But more yes. often than not, you don't have to be elite in college, but you have to be good and show signs. Like Patrick Mahomes, right? He wasn't the most well-known college player out there. He was really good.
Yeah, but he had signs.
But you see, that's what I'm saying. You usually have to have that kind of thing, those kind of aspects shine in order to be a pro guy. But, you know, I don't think Drew Aller's a bad quarterback. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think he looked good last night, for what it's worth.
Yeah, but we see a lot of guys that look good in a – I heard something this morning about the NFL. Said you got to – in game one, if you're a third or fourth-team quarterback guy, third or fourth-team string guy, like it's hard to make a club. I mean, you only got 53 spots, whatever it is, and 48 of those already been decided. 50 of those already been decided. You're only talking about three or four guys. You saw all the hard knock stuff, man. It's really, you're only talking about three or four guys trying to make a team.
That show gives me so much, like, anxiety.
Really?
I love it, but I get so attached. I always, every year, get so attached to the four-string quarterback. And I love him, and I love his little girlfriend, and I love his family. And every year, my heart breaks. Every year.
Well, one thing I heard on this morning, I was listening to a former NFL player talk about it, and he said, man, you got to go out there and give them every reason in the world to keep you another week because, let's face it, you're throwing against guys that will be delivering for FedEx tomorrow, you know, next week. So, now we got the best text I think we've ever gotten on the show.
All right.
69-17 said, My wife is a registered dietitian, often referred to as RD. He goes, I'm a chef. So our friends call us Chef Boyardee. Maybe the best I've ever heard on the air. Chef Boyardee.
You got some funny friends, Texter.
Yes. And oh, by the way, how could we be a listener of this show and you be a chef and we've not tasted any of your food?
Come on.
Do you need the address? I mean, let's go. Quickly, Texter said, Aller is consistent, low ceiling, though. Yeah. Aller's not going to go win you football games in the NFL. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong, and there have been guys who proved you wrong. I didn't think Brock Purdy would win you a football game, but Brock Purdy looks like Dan Marino compared to Drew Aller, in my opinion. I don't see it happening. Like, put it this way, like Haynes King has one superpower, and maybe if he gets healthy, he can hang around. I don't see a superpower for Drew Aller.
Drew Aller's a better quarterback than Haynes King.
What? So you're telling me you'd rather have Drew Aller than Haynes King?
Not rather me. Have his arm.
His arm, yeah. I'd rather
I'm
have
not him. A huge Haynes King
girl. Really? Yeah. All right, I'll ask Josh Williams about this some more. We got to take a break. Let's keep that on the you see where Terron Arnold is going to sign with the Seahawks? That's news on the thing. Like, what?
Did we not talk about him being involved in like a Sopranos-esque crime like two weeks ago?
Seahawks, yeah, do that. That's really smart. All right, short break. We'll come back, talk Big 12 football with Josh Williams right after this.
The countdown is on. 22 days until Clemson Tiger football, presented by Ingles. Ingles, low prices. Love the savings.
Shotgun set here for Deshaun Watson with Gallman to his left-hand side. Takes the shotgun snap. Going to go left side. Watson is going to keep it. Gets to the five. Turns it upfield. Into the end zone. Touchdown.
105.5. 97.5. The Roar. The Roar. Where every day is game day.
Falls Park at Kiwi.com. What Jim Anthony has done it. He's done it again, and we love what he's been able to do. Falls Park is a beautiful, beautiful development. We're talking about 71 home sites nestled between Lakes Kiwi and Lake Chokasi, and the lake access and nature trails and the Blue Ridge Mountain views and this gated community right there at the water's edge. You can get $150,000 lots right now. Legacy lots are just $150,000. And with 42 private boat slips and miles of trails and McKinney Falls and just beautiful, beautiful. You're going to love this piece of land that Jim Anthony has sculpted out now and these awesome deal of Lake Kiwi and Lake Chokasi, two of my favorite places on earth. Live right between them. Get the best of both. Go to fallspark@kiwi.com. These go fast. Sense of urgency here. fallspark@kiwi.com.
From the I-85 gridlock to the Esso parking lot. We're your sports talk.
Good friend Josh Williams joins us talking, I think, one of the most interesting years and most interesting conferences out there. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing?
Hey, I'm well this morning. How are you?
Fantastic. I want to jump into it. First, just in the big picture, I find it every year to be the case. But the Big 12 is fascinating. And it's fascinating coaches and fascinating offenses and fascinating styles. And last year, well, how dominant Texas Tech was. But we'll lead off with it. I think you're on me with this. I'm not sure on the Texas Tech being the dominant team. I think the quarterback thing's bigger than people think. I'm not buying Texas Tech the way everybody else is as far as this national championship and contender and conference champion. What are your first thoughts about the favorite in Texas Tech?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely priced as the massive favorite, given what given the roster construction, especially outside of quarterback. They're, you know, win totals at 10.5, heavily juiced to the over. They're -110 to win the conference. They got 12 returning starters, 6 on each side of the ball, and they added, you know, 10 starters from their former stops from the portal, 4 on offense, 6 on defense. So, you know, get some 12th in Bill Connolly's returning production. You know, last year, like you said, they won 12 games, all of them by 20-plus. You know, they had 9 defensive players make all-conference. 5 were on the first team, but, you know, a lot of that is gone. You know, can they hit on that portal hole again, particularly along the defensive line? They got 3 transfers along that D-line from Wake, San Diego State, Miami of Ohio. But yeah, the big bugaboo, I mean, they went out and got Brendan Sorensen for a reason. They wanted to get more dynamic at quarterback. They felt like they needed that. Obviously, we saw it was a big issue with their offense in the playoff. They didn't even, against Oregon, they were just vastly overmatched going up against Oregon's defense, who obviously the week before had gotten shredded by James Madison a little bit. So we all know about the Sorensen situation. So now they go back to, you know, last year's backup Hammond, who's coming off an ACL injury. So, you know, his status early season may be a little bit in question, but it kind of keeps changing a little bit, and they think he'll probably be ready to go when they start. But they certainly don't need him, you know, the first couple games. But, you know, the biggest thing, obviously, is the schedule. They'll be favored in all 12 games, and from, you know, as we sit here right now, they'll be probably a double-digit favorite in all 12 games. You know, the first test will be, you know, Houston there in week three. You know, they don't play BYU or Utah. But, you know, if you look, trying to pick out the toughest opponents on the schedule, it's probably, you know, Houston, Arizona State, they all get at home. I think the tricky spot for them may be kind of the back-to-back road travel there in November at Oklahoma State, at Baylor. Both of those obviously have questions. You know, they also get TCU at home to finish. So I don't think it's just a slam dunk that they're just going to, you know, roll it out there and continue what they did last year with the turnover and what they lost to the draft and, you know, and obviously going to plan B at quarterback. So while they're priced like a big favorite, the schedule really sets up well for them. You know, I agree with that. I don't really consider them a true national championship contender, no.
I'm with you on that. The schedule is pie because they don't get BYU, they don't get Utah, and then they get, obviously neither was on the road and altitude-wise, they get none of that. They don't go to West Virginia. They get them at home. Arizona home, like I said, Arizona State at home. Like of the better teams in the league, it sets up. You get Houston at home. Everything's at home, and everything's like the setup. It couldn't be a more perfect schedule. But I don't trust them still because I trust BYU. And I think BYU, that Notre Dame game, out-of-conference game on October 17th in Provo is going to be an absolute interesting Mormons and Catholics war. But the freshman quarterback last year, the power running game last year, the coach comes back. They got a little NIL treasure chest there now. Lines of scrimmage are getting better. I know the only team that beat them last year was Texas Tech. Not on the schedule this year. I think we're headed for a showdown in the Big 12 championship game, but I'm telling you, like BYU, do you like them as much as I do?
I do like them. Yeah, their win total's 8.5. They're, you know, juiced to the over there about, you know, plus 550 or so to win the Big 12, a little over 3-1 to make the playoff if you like either one of those. But, you know, they also have 12 returning starters, you know, 5 on offense, 7 on defense. They added a few more from the portal. Big thing is they do return the quarterback who was, you know, inexperienced last year starting as a freshman, who was kind of thrown in there, not expected to start initially, but did well. So you think some progression from him there, given that coach staff. But, yeah, I mean, they're 23-4 the last 2 years. They avoid Texas Tech and Houston on the schedule. They're probably going to be a favorite in 10 games. I mean, we know they'll be an underdog to Notre Dame. Maybe probably even a double-digit underdog there at home. A little bit of a tough road trip to TCU, you know, to start off October. Another kind of coin flip at Utah there beginning in November. So, you know, three of their more likely trip-up spots there, two of those on the road. But, yeah, I do trust Satake and that staff, and they've done obviously incredibly well. I kind of think, you know, the offense, they were good last year, particularly in the run game. They were a little limited as a passing offense, but I think maybe with another year under his belt, the full off season, knowing he's the guy, I think the quarterback can kind of take a step forward a little bit. I think they're much more live to win the league than maybe. I don't think there's as big of a gap between them and Texas Tech as kind of what is priced.
I think that lines of scrimmage are going to be a difference here. And one of the things that people forget is this defense, I gave up only 334 yards a game. Last 2 years, gave up 334 and 309. I think this defense is built for it. And I like Stocky coming back to all of that. The rest of the contenders, I like Houston and their stability, Willie Fritz, more than Utah and a new coach there. But the schedule for Houston is much more difficult. Houston has to go to Utah. They have to go to Texas Tech and to West Virginia. And it just seems to me it's a much more difficult schedule-wise, even though more stability with Fritz at Houston.
Yeah, Houston's got a little bit of the buzz team, so to speak. They're, you know, the win total there is 8.5. It was 7.5 at one point. Yeah, so it's gone up a full win, juiced a little bit to the under. They're around 15-1 or so to win the conference. They got 11 returning starters, including the quarterback. They added, you know, 6 more starters from the portal, mostly on offense. They won 10 games last year, but they were 6-1 in one score games. So, you know, can that continue? I think they're probably a likely favorite in 9 games. Obviously, we know they'll be an underdog there at Utah, at Texas Tech, probably even a short dog at Kansas State. So, but there's more, you know, a lot more single-digit spreads on that schedule, opportunities to kind of trip up. That you're betting on Fritz and that continued kind of development given his track record. So I don't hate it. I don't necessarily, they wouldn't kind of be my top pick in that next little group there.
Speaking of next little group, dark horses, anybody you like as far as coming from not a high expectations to maybe make some sort of run? But one thing too, let me say this about Willie Fritz. This program was in shambles. They were 4-8 the last two years before that. But last year they won 10 games. I think Fritz is might be the best coach in the league. He's fantastic. Anybody else you like in the league that's maybe a dark horse?
Yeah, I hit on one thing with Utah first. They're kind of, you know, they're priced kind of pretty close to BYU. I mean, they're plus 650, but I'm not as high on them, even though the schedule is favorable. Only 6 returning starters. They did get the quarterback back. Your first time head coach, that, you know, Scally, their longtime DC. But the biggest thing for me, for them, is they got 0 starters back on the line of scrimmage, offensive line, defensive line. You know, 7 of those 9 starters last year were all conference. But the schedule's favorable. They avoid Texas Tech. They get to host BYU in Houston. So they're probably favored in 8-9. But I don't know. There's a lot of single-digit spreads on that schedule to, give them kind of an opportunity to trip up. So I'm not as high on them. But I think kind of the one that maybe is flying under the radar a little bit, and they've actually started to kind of take some money lately, is Kansas State. New coaching staff. You know, they get Klein back. You know, 9 returning starters, including the quarterback. They added 7 more from the portal. They were 1-5 last year in games by 6 points or less. You think that Klein's probably going to get the best out of Avery Johnson, kind of get him back on track. I think they're probably going to be favored in 8 or 9 games. They don't get Texas Tech, BYU, or Utah. They get Houston and Arizona at home. I think they, a little bit like Texas Tech, they kind of won the schedule lottery with the way theirs kind of sets up. I think, they're going to kind of win a lot of games. So they've kind of taken some money lately. They're actually a little bit above Houston in terms of odds to win the Big 12. They're 14-1. And the other one I would entertain would be TCU. They're probably around 20-1. 9 returning starters, but they do add the quarterback that we discussed kind of early in the offseason that we liked, Craig from Harvard. Big change on offense, though, so we should kind of see that. They hired Samus from UConn, who's, traditionally a little more pro style. He's got the offensive line background. So I think one thing they're kind of wanting to get back to that they've struggled with recently is running the ball. That, they always had seemingly good, games through the air, passing offense there under Briles, but kind of lacked in the run game. So kind of a little bit of a change in philosophy with what Dykes did and went out and got Samus. But, they kind of got 5 likely kind of coin flip games there too that are plus or minus a field goal basically, and at Central Florida, BYU at home, at Baylor, at Arizona and Utah. So, probably need to come through that stretch at a minimum 3-2 But I would kind of consider TCU and Kansas State kind of the two maybe dark horses. I favor Kansas State's schedule a little bit more, the way it sets up.
All right. I know nothing about Oklahoma State because they've got 20 of 22 transfers listed as starters right now. But one of those 22 is – one of those 20, I should say, is Drew Mestemaker. And who knows? Maybe him and Morris can work some magic. I don't think they're going to win the league. But, you know, maybe upsetting Houston, upsetting Texas Tech at home. Maybe you talked about a little bit where Mestemaker's that good. But, again, all these newcomers, who knows what you get with all that. You want to do some Big Ten ACC or SEC next week?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Love it.
Oklahoma State, I just wonder that obviously it's a big step up for a lot of those guys following the coach there. And if you look at Mestemaker, even as good as he was last year, and kind of the couple that basically kind of the two best defenses on that schedule, I think he threw six of his seven interceptions. So maybe we'll just kind of see how he adjusts to kind of another step up in competition. But they'll probably be one of the most improved in the conference. I mean, kind of have to be. What were they, 1-11 last year? But they may not factor ultimately in the Big 12 as a, you know, trying to make the championship game. But you know, they probably will factor that they kind of do possess some different drills and stuff that might can upset a team or two that, you know, shapes the standings up a little bit.
Good stuff. Let's talk other conferences when we visit next week. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, man. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. A little Big 12 talk. Kind of agree, man. Texas Tech should be favorite. That schedule is a joke. Short break. We'll come back. Our ReedyLandCo.com's hunting and fishing report. Talking some fishing when you return right after this.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 20th.
8289. So I talked to Russell yesterday. I got a friend I play golf on Wednesday, and the gentleman had his mother-in-law passed away, and so they've got some tax issues. Was she all caught up on her taxes? What did she do? What did she pay? What does she owe? All that kind of stuff. And when it comes to estate and settlement and all that, so those things get a little bit complicated. So let's do it. Let's find a way to if they can help you out and if they can get your tax situation straightened out. Anybody who filed extensions, still got to do those. Any back taxes, still got to do those. You can amend back taxes, I think up to 3 years. A lot of the tax code will change every year, so you got to be in the right situation there. Let's do some tax planning and tax evaluation. You'll love our great friends at Patterson's Tax Service. And let them do your bookkeeping, payroll accounting, your daily, monthly, weekly tracking. They do all that for you at the Patterson's Tax Service. 864-859-8289, wherever you can hear my voice, is my great friends at Patterson's Tax Service. Friday at 7:45 in the morning means our ReedyLandCo.com hunting and fishing report. We're going to the Midlands of South Carolina where Willie Dial is going to talk to us about a little fishing thanks to ReedyLandCo.com. Hey, good morning, Willie. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Man, we are great. I got to tell you, I grew up in the Midlands, and I grew up on Lake Murray and behind the dam and all the broad rivers and all that going down through there. And we're going to talk some fishing today, but back in my youth, how's the fishing in Midlands of South Carolina right now?
It's been an amazing summer so far, to be honest. And, you know, I grew up around here, all around Lake Murray my entire life, and I didn't know anything about the broad river until after I was done with school and college, and I was working downtown, and before work one day, someone asked me to go fish with them for striper in the Congaree River, and I hooked about a 4-pound smallmouth, and it jumped about 4 foot from me and spit the hook in my face, and since that day, I've pretty much built my entire life around the Broad River, and I've kind of gotten a real estate for that, and I've got a few tracts of land on the river, and it just turned into my passion.
Oh, that's outstanding. Awesome stuff for sure. Tell me about that part of it, of the business development, because there's I would think a bunch of opportunities. How's that going?
Yeah, it's good as far as opportunity, as far as fishing the river or
– No, the real estate part of it. I mean, you're talking about, a pretty cool – and I'm not sure development-wise, like what they're doing, because I hadn't been, you know, down there in a while now, but growing opportunities in the real estate part of that?
There definitely is. That's the one thing that makes the Broad River so unique, especially in the lower section and around Columbia, is there is no public access for 20 miles. So whenever you do see a piece of property come available on the Broad River, it's time to jump on it. And it is such an amazing fishery. It really is just offers a lot more than fishing too. I mean, duck hunting as well. As far as an outdoor enthusiast, you really get everything.
No doubt.
If you find a piece of land on it, it's just an amazing place.
No doubt about that. All right, from a fishing standpoint, what do we need to know about fishing on the Broad?
You typically have your run-of-the-mill bass fishermen. You want to carry the same tactics that you use to bass fish a lake to the river as far as what you're going to use. You know, throwing your Texas rig, throwing your jerk baits, throwing some big inline spinners, throwing top water, man. Top water has been unreal this year. Going back to old school, head and torpedo, baby torpedo. They just put 4 smallmouth over 5 pounds in the boat this year, which is in comparison to probably about a 10-pound largemouth. So it's pretty awesome. The biggest thing, though, once you get on the river, it kind of changes. So you have your bass fishermen, they'll get out there who fish the lakes. They'll see during the middle of the day, they'll be like, let's go to the shoreline and see if we can get, you know, this little shaded area and pull some smallmouth out of there. You kind of got to steer them the other direction. Hey, man, these fish thrive on the sun. They love the heat. Like, I tell everybody, the hotter, the better that river is. Like, if you're miserable, you are catching fish out there and fishing them.
If you're miserable, you're not miserable if you're a fisherman. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And the only thing I caution people who have never tried it is to make sure to check out the water levels. It's a very volatile river and can fluctuate several feet in a day. And I've only fished once in the past 2 weeks, not because the weather hadn't been nice, but due to some, you know, torrential downpours in the upstate, it's just not fishable at a certain level. And you can pull that up on the USGS for Alston is one of the names for the lower part, and you can work your way up all the way to Boiling Springs, North Carolina, and Carlisle is kind of a middle section, and you can just kind of see the trending flow. And you don't want to get out there when the flow is over like 3,000 cubic feet per second.
Yeah. But you're just fighting at that point in time. Can a
troll, that's correct. You're
can a trolling motor do that, or are you just always like you just can't keep up with it? I guess it depends on the size of the trolling motor and the size of that speed of it.
Right. So it's very limited access, too. So you can kayak, put in a canoe with a transom. That's what we fish with. We fish with transom back canoes. And there are places you can put like a jet drive boat in there to get up and down. But I think the fish are the same way, especially the bass. Like if that water is high and flowing, like they're going to hunker down, get in a rock, and, they're not going to be very active. Yeah. But.
All right. What do I need to know? Is there a difference, smallmouth, largemouth, any kind of? First of all, for folks that don't do a lot of bass fishing, what's the difference in catching smallmouth compared to catching largemouth as far as tactics and bait and strategies?
So you're really going to have pretty much the same tactics and baits and strategy. You're running a mill Texas rig, I would say 3/16 ounce Texas rig. Using a plastic crawdad, throwing a big MEPS inline spinner. I think every kid that grows up bass fishing has thrown like a rooster tail. You can use a rooster tail. I just favor the MEPS. They just seem to be more quality. And you want to throw a little bit bigger size bait to compare what you would throw for like a brim or trout, like MEPS number 3 or number 4 is really where you want to be at. And then I mentioned the torpedo, man, I haven't thrown that bait, but I decided to throw it this year, and it has just been a crazy big fish bait. But just like anywhere else, you're bass fishing, throw the buzz baits on top water. That's awesome. The spook, jerk baits. I throw a XRP 8 out there, and, they say you're only supposed to throw that for bass in the spring and late fall. The middle of the day, when it's blistering hot in the summer, that water's clear. That river turns like you're fishing a stock pond where you're getting hit every cast sometimes. It is just an unreal.
Yeah, nothing better than fishing on top of the water and getting that thing hit like that that often, and that excitement of that for sure. Hey, my final minute, let me know about what's going on low country deer season. Are we getting close?
That's correct. So deer season comes in the low country tomorrow.
Oh.
So that's exciting. Pretty much the only place in the country where you can hunt for bucks and velvet with a rifle. You just don't see that anywhere else. A few places have bow seasons for early archery for a chance to kill one in velvet. But pretty much the only place in the country is the low country, South Carolina. You can get to go with a rifle. It's going to be blistering, so you got to really want to go. But I will be there tomorrow. With that being said, I'm excited about this deer season. Ever since we've got the tag system, it seems like every year they've been killing bigger bucks after bigger bucks. It's been great.
Awesome. Tell me about Reedy Land Co. I didn't know you guys had Jenkinsville and the Midlands and all that down there, and Lake Monticello and on Broad River and all. You got a bunch of great properties, I'm sure. What's going on with ReedyLandCo.com?
So we got a place about 160 acres right here near Jenkinsville. It's kind of probably 25 minutes from Columbia, 25 minutes from Chaikin Lake Murray, 10 minutes from Lake Monticello, 10 minutes from the Broad River. It's going to be some mini farms, and it's a beautiful tract of land. You know, Fairfield County is a beautiful county. It's got a lot of it's very hilly, but this one, it has just kind of gentle rolling topography, great mature trees, a really nice hardwood bottom. It should be coming on the market here in the next month or two. We also have when it goes for like as far as hunting, we have two turnkey properties around the Lawrence area too that are available that offer everything from deer, duck, dove, and turkey, which that's turnkey ready to go hunt today, stands in place, and you know that have the offer all four of those for hunting. I mean, that's an outdoor enthusiast's dream right there.
I love it. I always go Thursday nights. Check out all the properties, man. There's a bunch of dreams being made right now by Reedy Land Co. Check them out, ReedyLandCo.com, and get that great property. It would be an awfully great experience for outdoorsmen and a bunch of good stuff there. Willie, I enjoyed talking to you, man. Good luck tomorrow, and hopefully
yes,
you get
sir.
The season off to a great start.
That's right. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Willie Dial from good folks at ReedyLandCo.com. Pumped up. Got deer season open up tomorrow down in the low country. Y'all excited about that?
Let's go.
How long?
I love it.
I need you to ask all the outdoor questions next time. Be a short segment.
So,
deers, huh? Deers.
Deers.
Yeah.
What deers do you like best?
Doe.
I like Bambi.
A female deer. Short break. We'll come back. Let's open up phone lines. Text lines flying this morning. I actually have a Clemson football thought or two to kick that off and love to hear from you. 654-ROAR, Pratt Energy Lawyer phone lines, and Adams Grove text line with Ashby and Mickey. Third and final hour of the week kicks off right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
The Roar's 2026 College Football Kickoff Show
will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley,
August 27th,
from 5 to 8 p.m.
Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers
as they break down everything you need to know.
The Roar,
where every day is game day.
Blue and white trucks rolling down the street, fixing pipes and wires.